Disciples asked of Jesus, "When will these things be? When will the kingdom come to pass? What sign shall we see?" He told them of all things to come, and warned of many trials, and how the gospel must be sent and preached among all nations. Going global with the gospel is the task that lies ahead. To preach the word and win the lost is what the Savior said. His mercy and His grace must first be spread to one and all. Global with the gospel, serving the Master's call. As followers now of Jesus, signs are everywhere. The Lord is soon to take His bride, His coming is so near. He gave us work that we must do, so spread the name of Jesus, till every nation hears the news of how He came to save us. Going global with the gospel is the task that lies ahead. To preach the word and win the lost is what the Savior said. His mercy and His grace must first be spread to one and all. Global with the gospel, serving the Master's call. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is giving us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. Going global with the gospel is the task that lies ahead. To preach the word and win the lost is what the Savior said. His mercy and His grace must first be spread to one and all. Global with the gospel, serving the Master's call. Global with the gospel, serving the Master's call.
Was a blessing. Amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and I really enjoyed that special. Brother Mike was just telling me that Brother Dan wrote that song for the missions conference, and that was a blessing. That was an encouragement. I want to say publicly, in case Pastor listens to this message in the future, thank you to Pastor for allowing me to fill the pulpit for him this morning. It is an honor to preach God's word. It's an honor to stand behind this pulpit. Brother Luke was telling me to sit in this chair, you know, after the choir special. I said, "I don't know, Luke, maybe I should sit in that chair over there. I don't know if I should sit in that chair." But seriously, I thank God for our pastor and for his faithfulness to preach the word. I appreciate his life when he's not behind the pulpit, how he lives out his faith. And I want to say publicly, I'm very thankful that he allowed our family to stay with him for several months while we moved here last year. And, you know, that was a blessing to have some time to fix up the house. And I am just thankful that we're at this church. This church is a big encouragement. And it really hit me one morning. One Sunday morning, we came into church, and Kennedy, my four-year-old daughter, always makes a beeline for the church lobby to talk to Pawpaw, to talk to Pastor, and to say good morning to him. And she came inside the lobby, and I had forgot to tell her that weekend that Pastor was down in Mexico on a missions trip. So she came in the lobby. She kind of did a double take. She looked around, and then her arms just kind of lowered, and she had a frown. And I didn't think about it. I said, "Kennedy, what's wrong?" And she said, "Where's Papa? Where's Papa? We always say hi to Papa." And I said, "Oh, well, you know, he's in Mexico this morning preaching down there." And Kennedy piped up and said, "Well, nobody told me that he was going to Mexico." And but, you know, after that happened, it really hit me that every Sunday morning, Pastor is in the lobby greeting people, shaking hands. And I watch how Pastor interacts with the church family. And he makes it very obvious that he loves the church. He makes it very obvious that he is always so excited when everyone's here. And he looks, and I know that when folks are missing or folks are out, he misses the church family. And he has a heart for the church members, a deep love for the church members. And I'm thankful that we're in this church. It's a blessing. One of the ways that the church has really been an encouragement to us is all of the things that it has for young people, from the Sunday school to King's Kids. And last Sunday, we were on our way home from church. And every Sunday, usually me or Abby, actually Abby usually asks Kennedy, "Kennedy, what did you learn in Sunday school?" And almost every single week for a solid year, Kennedy said, I don't know. I got candy or I don't know. But finally, last week, Abby said, "Kennedy, what did you learn today in Sunday school?" And it was so funny. Immediately, Kennedy said, "Well, Mom, we learned about Hannah, and Hannah wanted to have a baby, and Hannah went to the temple." And she told this whole story, and I was thinking, you know, I'm very thankful that I go to a church where they teach children the Word of God. And I'm thankful for the Sunday school hour and junior church and King's Kids. And what a blessing to be in a church where the church has a vision to get God's word to the young people. Before we get into the message this morning, I do want to say something about Sunday school. We have really enjoyed the young adult Sunday school class, the First Love Sunday school class. And Ryan and Sarah have a burden for the young couples in the church. And I encourage you, if you're a young adult, 35 on down, or a young married couple, and you're right now not in a Sunday school class, I just encourage you to come to that class. It is fun. There's a lot of fellowship. It's a good time. Brother Ryan always has a good Bible study, and we laugh a lot. I can't tell you from the pulpit all how the conversations go all the time, because Ryan tells us what happens in Sunday school stays in Sunday school. Amen. This morning we were talking about the Sicilian flag, and I'm not going to tell you all the details of that, but it was a blessing. It was an encouragement. So, but if, you know, the First Love Sunday school class, that is a blessing. So I encourage you, if you're in that age group, get plugged in, and that'll be a blessing. John 14 in our Bibles this morning. John 14, we're going to read the first three verses in this chapter, John chapter 14. When we get to verse 3, if you could please read verse 3 with me this morning, John 14, 1, 2, and 3. Right here in God's Word, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Please read verse 3 with me this morning. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This morning I'd like to preach a message entitled "Living in the Countdown." Living in the Countdown. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Lord's Day, this holiday weekend. God, thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, I thank you for our pastor who's probably preaching right now. I pray you bless him, encourage him, and bless his traveling. But Lord, right now I pray for grace to give the message. And Lord, I pray for the church family to have grace to hear. And help us today, Lord, to be strengthened by the Word of God. Help us to be encouraged. Lord, if there's somebody that needs to get saved, I pray they would get saved today. Help us now to grow in grace and take heed to your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time of John chapter 14, this was a very heavy time for Jesus and the disciples. As we look at the background of this passage, those are very encouraging words that we read But in the previous chapter, if we were to look at chapter 13, it was probably the hardest, one of the hardest conversations that Jesus would have with the disciples. In chapter 13, we know, was the Last Supper meal, the last Passover that Jesus had with the disciples. We know that Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and they shared that meal together. And Jesus began to tell his disciples that one of them was going to betray him and that he was going to die on the cross. And of course, in that chapter, Satan enters into Judas, and Jesus says, "What thou doest, do quickly." And Judas leaves, and the disciples are very down. They're very sad. At the end of the chapter, even if we look at the last sentence of chapter 13, it's "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." And he even tells Peter, "Peter, even you are going to deny me." And so the disciples are sad, they're heavy of heart, they're thinking about what's going to transpire. And then in chapter 14, Jesus turns the conversation, and for an entire chapter, Jesus begins to encourage them and strengthen them and help them. He gives them an entire chapter of future promises and future blessings. And this is not really the message this morning, but as an observation just from the introduction, we serve a God who is able to encourage us when we get discouraged. And Jesus here, being sensitive to the disciples' needs, he says, "Listen, guys," all of a sudden turns the conversation and encourages them for an entire chapter. And there was nothing that would encourage the disciples like a word from the Lord. And you know, in our Christian life, as we're going through our Christian life, sometimes we get discouraged, sometimes we get down, sometimes we go through difficult times, and there is nothing that can encourage us like the word of the Lord. When we get discouraged, we need to go to God's word. That's the number one source of encouragement and help for the Christian. And as I thought about chapter 14, this chapter of encouragement, it really grabbed my attention that the disciples were living in a countdown. They were living in a countdown. The disciples had a limited amount of time to serve God. They didn't have unlimited time to serve God. Jesus, in verses 1 and 2, talks about heaven, and then Jesus began to talk about the rapture, how he would take up the church. This is the first time in the Bible where Jesus teaches about the rapture. But there was a countdown, and truthfully, friends, we also are living in a countdown. There's not one person in here that has unlimited time. The clock is ticking on our life. There's two events. One of two events is going to happen, friends. We're either going to experience a physical death and die, or we are going to be raptured and we're going to be taken out. But our time, our clock is ticking. And I want to say this morning that right now is the time for us to serve God. Right now is the time for us to love the Lord. Right now is the time to have fellowship with the Lord and a relationship with God. Right now is the time to be plugged into our church and serving the Lord. A week from today starts our missions conference. Right now is the time to pray about missions and give to missions and present ourselves and say, "Lord, would you like me to go?" Now is the time because we are living in a countdown. You and I are familiar with the idea of a countdown. We've all been in situations where the clock was ticking down and we had a limited amount of time to do what we needed to do. In sports, there are countdowns. I was thinking this week, my mind was going back to a tournament in Louisiana 12 years ago. I was a senior in high school and our team was going down to Louisiana. We had never traveled that far for a tournament and we were excited. Now, I was lucky that as a junior higher, that our church did not just cancel the basketball team entirely. And Brother Luke remembers this. There was an age gap when I was in junior high. We had 5 years where we didn't have a lot of guys. Now, when I was in seventh grade, I was not a very good basketball player, but I was a starter on the high school team in seventh grade. And it was terrible. Some of you remember some of those games that we played against Faith. And we got destroyed year after year. I can remember playing against Ben Angel. I think I was like in sixth grade or seventh grade. And man, we just got, for year after year, it was not pleasant. But finally, after, one thing I was going to say, our principal, I remember this. When I was in seventh grade, there was only one team that we could beat. So our principal scheduled like 3 games against this team. And the only reason we could beat them is because 3 of their starters were overweight and they were like out of breath by the second half. And so somehow we could beat them. But just memories. But we were senior year. We went to a tournament in Louisiana and we made it to the championship game. we were fighting our way out of the loser's bracket. We had to play four games in that same day to get to the championship game. So it was our fifth game. And somehow we got out there, we played, and there was 9 seconds left, and the score was 62-62. I remember getting in the huddle. Our coach called timeout. We had the ball. All of us gathered around. Every single one of us on the team looked at the clock, 9 seconds. And I remember what went through my mind as a 17-year-old. In 9 seconds, it's all going to be over. If we're going to do anything, we better do it right now. If we're going to play, we better leave it on the court. And I remember looking at Aaron, and Aaron was our best shooter on the team. All the guys kind of looked at Aaron, and he said, "Hey, guys, I've got this one." Man, when the pressure was on, Aaron always played better. We threw the ball in, and Aaron was able to get in the winning shot before the countdown was over. But there was limited time. At work, there are countdowns. There are a lot of men in church this morning that you deal with deadlines. You have a limited amount of time to get the project done. Your boss will give a deadline. Your boss will say, this has got to get done in this amount of time. Or there's a quota. You say, you've got this amount of time to get the work done. Over the last week and a half at work, we've had a lot of deadlines because of storm orders. We were sending out, where I work, we take care of Honda power equipment, and we deal with generators and boat motors and lawnmowers. And with the hurricane in Texas and the storm and all those things going on, we were sending out truckload after truckload of generators. And our customer service representative would call me on the radio, "Alan, we've got another storm order. You better get the guys together, start picking it right away. The truck driver's going to be here in 2 hours." And at those moments where we have rush orders, man, you can feel it. You can kind of feel the pressure. The clock is ticking, living in the countdown. At school, there are countdowns. Teenagers, this year, you know you're going to have some countdowns in school. The teacher will say, "We're going to have a book report due. You've got this maybe a month away. You know, you've got 4 weeks to get the book report done." And, you know, I remember when I was in high school, I would think, "Man, I've got plenty of time. It's 1 month away." And then a week would go by, 3 weeks. I've still got three more weeks. And then 2 weeks, then it's time to get serious, amen, time to pick out a book. And then that last week, man, it's crunch time, man. You better start reading. You better start thinking about that report because the clock is ticking. And so, you know, concerning physical things, concerning sports and concerning work and education, the less amount of time we have, the more intense we are. When the clock is ticking down in the sports game, you think, "Man, we've got to score. We've got to get this done." In school and at work, the intensity builds when the clock ticks down. And you would think that because today we are closer to the rapture than we have ever been, we are closer to being with the Lord than we have ever been, you would think that the church would be more intense now than the church has ever been. But in Revelation, we find that not to be the case. In Matthew 24, we find that Jesus said that's not going to happen. Matthew 24:12, Jesus said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." He said in the last days, there's going to be apathy. In Revelation 3, we find the lukewarm church where it says there, "The church of Laodicea, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot." And it said, "Thou art lukewarm." And pastor will preach on how we are today in the Laodicean church age. And how sad that is, that a lot of churches don't have Sunday evening service anymore. Don't have Wednesday night service. Don't have soul winning. Don't have the church as a whole is less hungry for the Word of God. And we see these things going around us. But I'm thankful that that is not the spirit of Faith Baptist Church. I'm thankful we're in a church where the pastor preaches the Word of God and he challenges us, "Hey, don't be lukewarm. Hey, be excited about the things of God. Serve God. Do something for God now." And friends, right now, we are living in the countdown. We've got to be busy for the Lord. If you're not saved this morning, the clock is ticking, and if you are not born again, you need to get saved today. There have been a lot of people that have put off salvation and said, "Well, maybe I'll get saved next week, or maybe I'll get saved next time." The more that you put off getting saved, the harder it's going to be to get saved. I have two simple points for you this morning. Number one, be ready for the countdown to end. Be ready for the countdown to end. I mentioned that there's two ways that our journey as a Christian will end, either the rapture or death. And very simply, are you ready for the countdown to end? John 14:3, Jesus said he's coming back. He said, "I'm going to receive you unto myself. We believe that to be the rapture. And you can mark it down. If Jesus said that he was going to rapture the church, Jesus is going to rapture the church. It's going to happen. And we don't know the day or the hour that Jesus is coming back, but Jesus is coming back. Matthew 24:36, Jesus said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." The only one that knows when the rapture is going to take place is the Heavenly Father. Anybody that tells you, "Oh man, I've got a date for the rapture," don't listen to that guy. I heard in college of a book that somebody wrote in 1988, 88 reasons why Jesus was coming back in 1988. Amen? And he was wrong 88 times, I guess, in that book. But we don't know. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. And Jesus said that we don't know, but we are to watch. We are to be living as if today he was going to come back. Matthew 24:42, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." So there, that verse teaches us to have a readiness of mind, a readiness of service, a readiness of relationship with God, so that we're living in such a way that we believe the Lord could come back today. And I'm saying this morning, it'll be exciting for people that are ready for the countdown to end. It'll be an exciting day. The rapture will be an exciting time for Christians that are born again, that are living for the Lord, that are ready. And the Scripture teaches that it's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Hey, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed." The Bible says, "For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Friends, someday we're going to look in the eastern sky, and there is going to be a trumpet blast, and the shout is going to go out, and all of a sudden, in a moment, in an instant, the graves will open up. The dead in Christ will be resurrected. Tombstones are going to topple over. And you and I, the church, will be raptured out in a moment to be with the Lord. It's going to happen in an instant. The world is not looking for the rapture. CNN is not looking for the rapture. Education Today is not worried about the rapture. Hey, but the church, we are to be watching and ready, because someday we're going to go to be with the Lord. And we need to be ready for the countdown to end. We need to be ready. Are you ready this morning? Are you saved this morning? Have you been born again? If you're not saved, you are not ready for the countdown to end. You shouldn't have the attitude, "Well, Brother Allen, you know, if I miss the rapture, if I don't get saved, you know, it'll be all right. When everyone's gone, I'll know that the rapture happened. I'll know it's time to get saved." 2 Thessalonians says that a strong delusion is going to fall upon the earth in a time of great deception, and many are going to be deceived. You don't know if you're going to be able to get saved after the rapture. Hey, if you're not saved, you need to be saved today. Don't put it off. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says that there was a countdown and there were many people that were not ready. In Genesis 6, Noah was given the prophecy from the Lord. "Noah, I am going to flood the earth. Judgment is coming." And God commanded Noah to build an ark, and Noah begins to build. And the Bible says in 2 Peter 2 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And as Noah built that ark, as Noah prepared, he told the people, "You better get ready, because God's going to send judgment on the earth." Noah told the people, "You better prepare. You better get ready, because you need to turn and repent and turn to the Lord, because judgment is coming." And that entire generation listened to Noah and listened to what he had to say, and they didn't believe. And Noah kept preaching, and he kept building, and he kept preaching, and he kept building. But finally, the ark was completed after 120 years, and God said, "Okay, Noah, get on the boat." All the animals came on the boat. And friends, can you imagine? The Bible says that God closed the door. Can you imagine when the door began to close and people looked at the ark and that door was going up? And once that door was closed, the opportunity to get on board was gone. They had a window of time. They were in a countdown. They didn't believe it and they didn't receive it, but their time was limited to get on that boat. And as we go through our life, hey, listen, your time to get saved is limited. Your time to get saved is now. If you're not saved and you put it off and put it off and put it off, if you put it off too long, someday it'll be too late. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, behold, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Hey, if you're not saved, God welcomes you today. Come and be saved. God extends his hand of grace to you and says, come and be saved. At the end of the service, we have the invitation time, a time of prayer. If you want to get born again, all you have to do is come down the aisle and shake the hand of one of the assistant pastors and say, I'd like to pray with somebody. I'd like to accept Christ today. They'll have somebody show you. Please don't put that off. That's a serious matter. You don't know how long you have. Be ready for the countdown to end. Number two, very simply this morning, living in the countdown. Hey, not only be ready for the countdown to end. Number two, be serving while there is still time on the clock. Be serving while there's still time on the clock. Jesus told the disciples that they had work to do in this chapter. Look again at John 14. Look at our text, and let's look at verse number 12. John 14 and verse number 12. Right here, Jesus tells the disciples, verily, verily, and we know that word means important. We know that word means listen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And Jesus, of course, was about to go to heaven, but he told the disciples, hey, you disciples, you have some work that you need to do. You're going to keep on going, and you're going to give the gospel, and you're going to do my work. And I was thinking this week as I was preparing for the message about the work of Christ and how at all times the Savior has had a great passion to do the will and to do the work of the Father. Even before Jesus came to this earth to be our Savior, he was involved in the Father's work. I want you to think about this. Before Jesus came down to earth in the manger as our Savior, he was busy in the Father's work. In John chapter 1, the Bible teaches us that Jesus was involved in the creation week. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And it goes on to explain in those verses that Jesus was involved in creation. He was involved in the Father's work. We know that while Jesus was here as Savior, as he was here with the disciples, those 3.5 years, he was busy about the Father's work. And even now, even after the resurrection, as he's sitting at the right hand of God, right now, Jesus is consumed in the work of the Father. Before he came, he was involved in the Father's work. While he was here, he was involved in the Father's work. And now that he's in heaven, he is involved in the Father's work. I just want to remind us of some things that Jesus is doing right now in the Father's house. In John 14, 1 and 2, he said, I'm going to my Father's house. What is Jesus doing right now in heaven? The Bible teaches us that in heaven right now, Jesus is busy in the ministry of prayer. And you don't have to turn to these verses, but in Romans 8, the Bible says, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The Bible says right now, even in heaven, Jesus is busy about the work of the Father, and he is making intercession for the church. And I don't know all of the theology, Brother Luke, that goes into that, of Jesus making intercession for the church, but I know this, Jesus is going to God on my behalf and on your behalf. He's praying right now. He's interceding for us right now. In heaven right now, Jesus is in the ministry of being our advocate. In 1 John 2, it says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with God the Father, even Christ the righteous. Hey, we know that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. We know in the book of Job that Satan made an audience with God and said, God, look at Job. And he went on to attack Job. But friends, now there is an advocate in heaven. Right now, if Satan, if the accuser of the brethren comes into heaven and starts to give an accusation against you or me, hey, right now, Jesus is there. And I can imagine that if Jesus wants to, he can stand up and he can point to the blood on the mercy seat and he can say, Father, their sins are forgiven. Their sins are covered. Father, their sins are under the blood. We have an advocate today in Jesus Christ. In heaven right now, Jesus is busy preparing a place for us. He said that in John 14, 1 and 2. We read those verses. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, what does that mean? In some way, Jesus is involved in preparing a place for us. I don't know if he's the grand designer or the architect, but somehow, based on the Bible, he's involved. In heaven right now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, Romans 8 tells us, and he's having fellowship with the Father. in heaven right now, Colossians 1 says that Jesus is holding the world together and keeping everything going. Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Hey, before Jesus came, while Jesus was here, and now that Jesus is in heaven, his passion, his desire, hey, his activity was to do the work and to do the will of the Father. And I don't know how Jesus does it all. I don't know, he is a prayer warrior for the church and an advocate for the church. I don't know how he holds everything together and also has communion with the Father. I don't know how he does all those things at once, but all I know is this: he's a great Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. He's beyond what we can comprehend. Hey, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Lily of the Valleys. Hey, on and on it goes about how wonderful Jesus is. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He's Jehovah Nissi, my banner. Jehovah Salom, my peace. Jehovah Rea, my shepherd. Jehovah Sitkanu, my righteousness. Hey, he is present. He is creator. He is sustainer. He is savior. He is wonderful. He is Jesus. I don't know how Jesus could do all of that at once, other than to say he's beyond what we can understand. He's a wonderful savior. But friends, he is always busy about the work of the Father. And he told the disciples, listen, verily, verily, you guys are going to do work when I go to heaven. You guys are going to work while I am busy and I am up with the Lord. What a blessing to know that the work that we do in our Christian life, that God gives us his Holy Spirit to empower us to do his work. Look at what he says. Look at John 14 and verse number 16. And this is so encouraging, that God gives the Holy Spirit to the church in order to empower Christians to serve the Lord and do what needs to be done. Look at John 14 and verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And Jesus told the disciples the Holy Spirit was going to come inside of them and dwell with them forever. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And how encouraging that is. We know that the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts that we can serve the Lord with. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about this. And my question for you this morning is, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Do you know what areas God has blessed you with? I feel like I'm preaching to the choir in a sense, because so many people are busy serving the Lord at Faith Baptist Church. And it's wonderful to see so many people using their spiritual gifts. But I want to challenge us this morning, hey, if we know what spiritual gifts the Lord has given us, it is our responsibility, it is our duty, hey, it ought to be our joy and our opportunity to serve the Lord and use what God has given to us. Hey, we need to use our spiritual gifts for the Lord. Right now is the time to serve. You may be here today and you've been thinking about maybe getting involved in an area of church help, of helping maybe in a class, maybe getting involved in soul winning, maybe singing in the choir, maybe helping out in the school. I don't know how the Lord is stirring your heart, but I want to encourage you today. The clock is ticking. Right now is the time to serve. Right now is the time to use our spiritual gifts for the Lord. Right now is the time. We need to be busy. We need to definitely get involved in serving the Lord. I believe that God wants every member of Faith Baptist Church to have some way in which they are serving the Lord and helping others. It is so important. Such an important part of our spiritual life as a church member is to have a place where we can serve, is to have a place where we can help, is to have a place where we can contribute and be involved in what's being done. Hey, God wants us to be involved. And there's limited time. I want to say this. Use your spiritual gift for the Lord while there's time and be involved in God's work. What a great opportunity. I want to say this. We need to witness to the lost while there's still time on the clock. Every person in this room knows somebody that's not saved, that's not born again. Every person in this room knows somebody that's in our mind, in our heart, and we say, boy, I don't know where they're going to, I think they're lost. I think they'll probably end up in hell someday if they don't get saved. And friends, I want to tell you this morning, we don't have unlimited time to talk to people about the Lord. There's not unlimited time to go soul winning. There's not unlimited time to pray and to plead to the Lord about people that are lost. Right now, we need to have a burden. Right now, we need to witness. Right now, we need to do what we can, because that window for us to witness and for us to get the gospel to our friends, to our family, that window is going to be gone eventually. When we moved over to Kankakee We moved into one of the, honestly, where we're at on the west side of Kankakee, that couple of blocks is one of the friendliest neighborhoods that I have ever lived in. While we were working on the house, people came over, and they, man, they were kind, they were friendly, and it was very, very encouraging. It was a very warm community where we're at, and reminded me of my hometown in Dwight. Dwight is a friendly town. And so while we were over there, though, I got to know a few of my neighbors, and I've invited a couple of them to church, and none of them have come yet, but I haven't got a chance to invite all of them. But I had a neighbor across the street, one house down. His name was Bob, and Bob had a pit bull always in his front yard. And I wanted to go over and talk to Bob, you know, give him a track or invite him to church and just encourage him to come. But man, I would see that dog, and his dog would not be on a leash, which I don't agree with. Amen. I'm going to preach on that for a minute. I got two little kids. Put your dog on a leash. Amen. But no. But I, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I didn't go over there and invite him. And in my mind, I had more time. I had more time. Oh, Lord, I'll invite Bob eventually. I'll talk to Bob. But he moved away. He moved somewhere else about 2 weeks ago. And it happened so fast. And I thought, man, I wish I would have taken the time to invite him. But now my window is probably gone. And I thought about that this week. And friends, I want to tell you this morning that your coworkers, your neighbors, your family members, you have a limited time to give them the gospel. Hey, our window is closing. And you know somebody that's saved. Have you ever invited your neighbors to church? Have you ever witnessed to a coworker? Are you praying for your family members to get saved? And I'm preaching to myself this morning. But hey, there is a real eternity. Hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. And people are going to go either to heaven or to hell. And it's our job to do everything we can to give them the gospel. And I want to say this morning, there's great joy in leading someone to Christ. There's great excitement in leading somebody to Christ. There's great, I don't know of a, man, it's just exciting, Brother Luke, when you witness to somebody and their hearts are prepared and God allows you to see somebody saved. This summer, about a month ago, it had kind of been bothering me. I hadn't led anybody to the Lord all year. And I was praying, Lord, you know, I'd like to see somebody saved this year. I haven't. And the Lord, we were going soul winning, door to door in a nice neighborhood. And you folks that go visiting, you know, when you're in a nice neighborhood, you're kind of thinking, well, we'll give them a track, but there's not going to be too many people interested. But, you know, in a nice neighborhood, there was a man that was searching for the Lord. And he listened, and it was so obvious that, wow, this man is ready to get saved. And he trusted Christ. And the joy of just giving the gospel when somebody's ready. Hey, when the Holy Spirit gets somebody ready and gets somebody prepared and somebody's right there, all you have to do is say, hey, this is what the Bible says. And with joy, they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there's joy in leading somebody to the Lord because we have that limited time. And we're in the countdown. And how exciting it is. And hey, there's great joy in leading somebody to Christ. Hey, have you led someone to Christ this year? Have you ever, maybe you're newer in church and you've never led somebody to the Lord. What a great blessing to learn how to the scriptures of how to lead someone to the Lord. Maybe you've never done that. That'd be a great goal to put in your Christian life. Lord, I want to learn how to lead somebody to the Lord because we have limited time. Limited time. I want to say this in closing. We need to be involved in missions while there's time on the clock. Next week is the start of Missions Conference, going global with the gospel. And what an encouragement that our church sends money all over the world every month for missions. Hey, this month there's money being sent to Russia and money being sent to the Ukraine and money being sent to Africa and South America, all over the world through a local church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. How exciting to be able to be a part of that, to be able to pray for our missionaries or give or present ourselves and say, Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go. But it's missions conference, and I was telling Brother Bragg, it's exciting when they put all the flags up, and it gets you thinking about missions conference, and what a blessing. But we ought to be praying right now, Lord, please speak to my heart when missions conference starts. Lord, please encourage and strengthen my heart. Lord, help me. Please show me what you would have me to do. And friends, we have limited time. You know, there's probably members of this church right now, and this is the last missions conference that you'll be a part of. And we don't know who that is. But there was folks that were here last year for last year's missions conference, but they're not here for this year's missions conference. They didn't know that, but the time is limited. I want to challenge you in this way. Make a decision that you're going to be here, number one, for missions conference. Hey, be here. I know that at our church, is very well attended missions conference. But I just encourage you, if I miss missions conference, you know what I would think? Man, I'm missing out. I am missing out. And we ought to have that desire. Number one, I'm going to be here. I'm not going to let something come in the way. Be at every service that you can. Also this, pray for the Lord to speak to you about what he wants you to do with missions. And really this week, we need to start asking the Lord and say, Lord, you know, what would you have me to do? Lord, here I am. Please speak to me. Please help me. Please show me what you would have. Many folks give to Faith Promise on a weekly basis. And I want to say that it is a joy and a blessing to give to missions by faith on a weekly basis. What a blessing. What a great opportunity. And you may be here and you've never given to Faith Promise. You'll hear about it next Sunday morning. And it's a great opportunity. But right now, I just encourage you to start praying, Lord, what would you have me to give? You may be here and say, well, Brother Allen, I don't think I could give a lot. I don't think I could really donate a lot of money to missions. Hey, even if it's a little bit every week, God will use that little bit to get the gospel out. You say, well, Brother Allen, I could give maybe $10 a week. With $10 over a year, if you gave $10 a week, that'd be $520. You can buy a lot of tracks with $520. Amen. And I don't know what the number is. That's between you and the Lord. But the point is, it's an opportunity to get the gospel all over the world. And maybe this year, God wants you to go. It'd be exciting this year if God called some people from Faith Baptist Church to the mission field to go and give the gospel. Man, that'd be a blessing. And Brother Luke, on Wednesday nights, he reads the missionaries' letters, and we hear the reports. We hear about the people being saved. We hear about what's going on. And man, we can rejoice if we are involved in that. Man, we can rejoice with what's going on. So I just want to challenge you this morning. Our time is limited, and right now, we need to serve the Lord. I encourage you this morning, hey, whatever ministry you're in Faith Baptist Church, keep it up because our time is limited. Hey, if you go out visiting, if you go out soul winning and witness, keep on witnessing because we're in the countdown. If you're on the bus route and you bring in the children to church and give the gospel to them, give the gospel to the parents, keep on doing what you're doing because the time is running out. Whatever way you're serving, hey, keep up the good work because Jesus is coming back and it'll be worth it someday when we see him. And if the Lord's stirring your heart about getting involved, please get involved while you can. Serve God while you can. We don't know when the countdown will end, but someday it's going to end. Don't put off serving God till tomorrow. Let us serve God today. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. We're going to take time for invitation today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Today we talked about salvation in our message. And today, if you are sitting here today and you know 100% for certain that you are saved, that you are on your way to heaven, would you please indicate that by raising your hand, saying, Brother Allen, I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I see those hands. You can put those hands down. That's most of the hands. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved. You have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hey, if that's you, please get saved today. If you've never accepted Christ, would you indicate that by raising your hand? I'd like to say a word of prayer for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. But if there's anyone like that this morning, it says, Brother Allen, not sure that I'm saved. I see that hand and I see that. Any other hands? We just had one hand go up. There's another hand. I see that hand. Okay. We've got three hands. Okay, you can put your hands down. And I encourage you, when the invitation starts, please come forward today and be saved. Maybe you're here and you need to be baptized. And you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Say, Brother Allen, I want to follow the Lord in baptism. Anyone like that today, please raise your hand. You need to be baptized. I see that hand. Okay. Maybe you're here and you need to join the church. And lastly, as I talk about this invitation, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about this thing of the countdown and serving God, maybe about missions. I don't know how the Lord spoke to you, but maybe you'd say, Brother Allen, at some point in the message, the Lord spoke to my heart about this thing of the countdown. Would you raise your hand if that's you, if the Lord spoke to your heart? I see those hands. Well, let's all stand to our feet, and as the piano begins to play, the altar is yours. You come. Hey, if you need to get saved, come forward this morning. If you need to be saved, come forward. Ask someone to pray with you. I encourage you, please come. Please come. Don't put it off. If you need to be saved today, come down the aisle and someone will pray with you, help you to be born again. How about it today in this matter of the countdown? Are we doing what God would have us to do? Our time is limited to serve the Lord. Let's do what we can right now to serve Him. How about it today? There's still time. Others have come. How about you? What does God want us to do right now while we still have time? Living in the countdown. How about it today, friend? How has the Lord spoken to your heart? Don't put off living for the Lord. Don't put off serving the Lord. Serve God right now. Live for God right now.